Blog Talk Radio.
I want a heart that forgets, a heart full of love, one with compassion just like yours above, one that overcomes evil, goodness and love, like it never happened, never holding a grudge. Want a heart that forgets, lives and lets live, one that loving over and over again, one that men can't offend because your word is thin, one that loves without price like you, Lord Jesus Christ, one a heart that loves everybody, even my enemies, one a love like you, be like you, just like you. I want a heart that forgives. Want a heart that forgives when the ones that are closest, that I've known the longest, hurt me the most. I still want to love them just like you love me, even though I'm hurting. I want a heart that forgets when the pain is so deep, it's so hard to speak about it to anyone, just like your son. I give up my right to hold it against them with hatred inside. Want a heart that loves everybody, even my enemies. Want a love like you, be like you, just like you did. Want to walk like you, talk like, just like you did. Want to be like you, live like you, just like you. The heart that forgives is the heart that will live, totally free from the pain of the past. And the heart that lets go is the heart that will know so much freedom. Lord, I want to let it go.
Hey, hallelujah.
God, I need. Lord, it's been holding me back, and I don't want it no more. I don't know exactly what to do to get rid of it, but here I am, Lord Jesus, here I am, oh, here I am, Lord Jesus, oh, Lord, I need you, I need you, I know. That you're talking to. This is me, this is me, this is me, Lord, this is me. Lord, I let it go. Every person that's ever hurt me, God, I let it go. Every single hurt, God, I let it go. Every single pain, God, I let it go. Lord, you can have. Lord, you can have. Lord, you can have. You can have it now. You can have it now. I don't want it more.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Heartbeat of God with Stacy Lunsford. Thank you so much for joining me today. Today we will be following up with Joseph's story, and today's topic is entitled, What Have You Learned from Your Pit Experience? And we are going to make this personal today. Although we will be reviewing Genesis, the 37th chapter, and we will be learning about Joseph and his brothers, the question of today is, what have you learned from your pit experience? And before we get started, let's open up with a word of prayer. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we welcome you. We love you and we adore you. Thank you for this opportunity to come together to share your word, to grow in your word. We thank you for forgiving us. We thank you for cleansing us of all unrighteousness. Father, I thank you for the song by Kevin LeVar that is entitled, A Heart That Forgives. And with this message today, with Joseph, Father, we thank you for a heart that forgives. We thank you that with everything that Joseph went through, he chose to forgive. He chose to release, and he chose to bless his brothers. So we thank you for everybody that's listening today, wherever they are today. Speak to their hearts, oh God. Speak to our hearts. If there is any unforgiveness, Father, we thank you for revealing it to us. We thank you, Father, for the ability to perform self-examination. And we cry out in the words of David in Psalms 51 and 10, creating us a clean heart, O God, and creating us a clean heart and renewing us a right spirit. Father, when we operate with an unforgiven heart, we operate in a wrong spirit. We operate in a spirit of error. And as we renounce that unforgiveness, we renounce the spirit of error, and we embrace the spirit of truth that comes, God, as you create in us a clean heart and as you renew in us a right spirit. But God, we must be willing to relinquish those wrong things, those wrong attitudes, those wrong feelings and emotions. So we thank you today for everything that we are going to learn through Joseph's story. Thank you in advance for healing, for delivering, and for setting the captives free. And Father, we thank you for the contact people and families today that don't quite understand the trials and the tribulations. They don't understand why they have been thrown in the pit, sold into slavery, falsely accused, thrown into prison. But through Joseph's story, God, as we learn about his humble beginnings in the pit to his grand rising at the palace, where you caused Joseph to arise and shine. For thy light has come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Isaiah, the 60th chapter in the first verse. Father, my prayer is that your people will arise and shine like Joseph and glorify your holy and your most righteous name, but also the ration to their families. So we thank you and praise you. We seal this prayer with the blood of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen. So thank you again for joining me. You are listening to The Heartbeat of God with Stacy Lunsford. Our foundational scripture today is found in Genesis, the 37th chapter. And I will be reading the first 11 verses, and we will begin with verse 1. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob, Joseph being 17 years old was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaves arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaves." And his brethren said to him, "Shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren and said, "Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me." And he told it his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, "What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth?" In verse 11, which is our foundational scripture for today, "And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying." So, excuse me. We thank God for the reading, hearing, and application of his holy and most righteous word. So we are all familiar with this story because we've been going over it the last couple of Wednesdays that we have gathered together for our noonday Bible study. So I have a couple of questions that I want to start with. This is going to be our review before we get into the message today, which we're going to be dealing with envy, the spirit of envy. So are you the contact person for your family? In the beginning, Joseph's test, his trials and tribulations, he did not understand that he was the contact person for his family. He didn't understand the hatred, the mistreatment, the jealousy, the envy, the strife, the division. And he did not understand why he was thrown into the pit. And Joseph, he didn't understand any better when he heard the footsteps of someone at the top of the pit. And last week I said he probably got so excited because in his mind, in his heart, his brothers came back to take him out of the pit. And the plank was over. The joke was over. You know, after all, my brothers really do love me. Joseph was disappointed because when they pulled him out of the pit, it was the Midianites that had purchased Joseph because Joseph's brothers, they sold him into slavery. So after he emerged from the pit, he quickly learned that he was on his way to a foreign land. He was a slave. He belonged to the Midianites, but the Midianites was taking him to Egypt to sell him to Potiphar. So last week's message was, "Who sold you out?" And we talked about being sold out on many different levels. And it was so good. Today, I want to highlight again the things that Joseph did not understand. He didn't understand the hatred. He didn't understand the mistreatment. He didn't understand the jealousy. He didn't understand the envy, the strife, the division. And my goal with today's message is to take one of those six mistreatments and highlight for today. So today we're going to highlight envy, and next week we're going to deal with mistreatment. But for the next couple of Wednesdays, we're going to cover hatred, mistreatment, jealousy, strife, division, and how it affects family relationships, how it affects ordinary relationships, business relationships, husband and wives relationships, co-workers. Envy is connected to jealousy, and jealousy will cause people to display behavior that is not true to their nature, because a lot of times they are operating out of their hurt and they are operating out of their pain. Now, for a moment, can you imagine how Joseph felt and the complexity of his emotions and thoughts? After slavery, Joseph is not only falsely accused of sexual assault after denying Potiphar's wife's advances toward him. See, she wanted to have sex with him, but he loved God so much, he stood on God's word that no weapons formed against him shall prosper. And he also hid God's word in his heart that he will not sin against him. So he knew that Potiphar's wife was off limits. But because she got angry and her heart was full of hatred, she told a lie and she falsely accused Joseph. So that's why Joseph was actually thrown in jail. So in jail, Joseph was forgotten. But when it was time for Pharaoh's dream to be interpreted, that's when they remembered not Joseph the man, but they remembered the gift that Joseph operated in, which that's going to take me right to the spirit of envy. Many of us have experienced envy from family members, from friends, boyfriends and girlfriends, you know, basketball, sports. It's a lot of ways that envy affects people. And today I want to read verse 11 again, because it says, "And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the same." So why did Joseph's brothers envy him? To the beginning of Genesis, the 37th chapter. And this is still our recap. We talked about Joseph's brothers hating him because of the evil report that he brought to his father. And then they hated Joseph because his father showed favoritism. He did things with Joseph that he did not do with them. So the envy and the jealousy was like building up in the hatred. So after Joseph received the coat of many colors, see, they didn't have a coat. And for real, all they really wanted was some quality time with their father. All they wanted was for their father to love them and spend time with them the same way he was spending time with Joseph. So parents, we have to be careful that we don't show favoritism and choose one child over the other, because you will cause the child that you're not spending time with to become envious and jealous of the relationship with the child that you are spending quality time with. So after the dream, after the coat, then the dream, the first dream, then the second dream, and so they was just through with him. So from the beginning of the story, all of this was building up. Now, I want to highlight something to you that is found in verse 2. Joseph was raised with his brothers, but they all had different mothers. So Bilhah and Zilpah, they were his father's wives. They were Jacob's wives, but it wasn't Joseph's mother. And they all grew up together. So when we have the blending of families, today when a man and a wife, a husband and wife, they come together in marriage and they both have children outside of the marriage, they are blending families. And sometimes it's just a boyfriend and a girlfriend, they're dating and they both have children and they blend families because their children have to get to know each other and you know, play together. And sometimes they fight and sometimes there's envy, sometimes there's jealousy. But what God was highlighting to me was with this blended family, although they were jealous and envious of Joseph, they all got along pretty well. And the only thing that was really standing out was the favoritism. So again, I just want to remind parents that we must be careful that we don't display favoritism. So what is envy? Envy is resentment towards another person, their success, their marital status, employment, where they live, the kind of car that they drive, how they operate in their gifts. And right here, I want to, I'm not going to go there, but I want you, for those of you that have your journals, I want you to write down 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, because we will be reviewing, going back to the spiritual gifts in our third session. So not next, not, I'll give the date for it, but 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, it talks about the spiritual gifts. Now, with everything that was against Joseph, the brothers, they were also jealous of him because of the dreams that he had and his gifts. They coveted Joseph's gifts. And they was angry because who are you that I'm going to bow down to you? They already didn't like him because, and you know, Joseph might have been a little arrogant. Joseph may have been, you know, a little haughty because he knew he was special. His father spent quality time with him. While Joseph was studying, his brothers was out in the field working. And he didn't get a chance to do the work like they was doing or to play like they was playing. Joseph was always studying, but Joseph was treated differently. So how the spiritual gifts will cause envy and jealousy in another person to this day. I mean, I understand it, but I don't understand it because God has given us all unique gifts. And our gifts are without repentance. That means whether we operate in our gifts or not, they're the gifts that God gave to us. God gave us the spiritual gifts to edify and help build up the body of Christ. If we had proper understanding of that, we wouldn't be jealous and envious of one another because we would know that that's their God-ordained gift. And we would be happy. Unfortunately, the body of Christ, not everybody, but envy and jealousy is an issue because people do not understand. And even the people that do understand, they still get jealous because God uses each person individually, dynamically, and uniquely. Walter cannot pray like I can pray. But Walter, he prays the way God taught him to pray. I pray the way God taught me to pray. Walter is happy for me. He does not covet my prayer. And I am happy for Walter. And Walter does not covet my prayer. But there are some have coveted my prayer. There are some people that got jealous of me because of how I pray. And in the beginning, I didn't understand it because I'm like, God, I'm just praying the things that you have placed on my heart to pray. And I don't understand why all of this opposition, why all of this jealousy. So as I have been diligently studying and just reviewing Genesis and asking the Holy Spirit to help me understand what Joseph went through and to help me understand how I can use some personal examples of things that I have gone through in my life that would be able to help those that gather together for noonday prayer, and also provide an opportunity for those that want to share their testimonies, because that's how we grow and that's how we learn. So going back to Joseph, Joseph was very gifted, and his brothers was envious of him because of the love that the father had for him that was not shown to them. And they was jealous because of the gifts. So envy is directly related to jealousy. And jealousy is directly related to resentment. Joseph's brothers began to resent him. Now, in the body of Christ, when we have a person, and I always use praise and worship because praise and worship leaders, they go through a lot of spiritual warfare. And a lot of times they experience a lot of envy and jealousy, just like Joseph did. When you have an anointed worship leader that is living a consecrated life and that has a prayer life and is really running after God, God will use them on a whole nother level that is amazing to usher in the presence of the Lord. Now, we can have a worship leader that does not have a consecrated life, that does not have a prayer life, but they can sing. They are gifted to sing. They have a talent to sing, but they have not been anointed to sing. And they can usher in an entertainment spirit. Now, for those that love to be entertained in the church, they satisfy with this entertainment spirit. And for the pastor of the house, the spiritual leader, when he allows that entertainment spirit to fully operate, he is really saying, God, I don't want your spirit in here. I don't want your presence in here, because if the people get all excited with this entertainment spirit and they get emotionally high, their lives are not going to change. They're going to continue to come. They're going to get on this emotional high. They're going to give up their money, and their lives are not going to change. They're still going to be in bondage, and then they're going to leave, and then they're going to come back, and then they're going to leave, and then they're going to come back. So now we're talking about self-centered leadership versus God-centered leadership. So going to the worship leader that has a consecrated life, when this person gets up to sing, they're going to usher in the presence of the Lord. And once God begins to fill the sanctuary, hearts are open to receive healing, to receive deliverance. Mindsets are changed. Chains are broken. Yokes are destroyed. Burdens are removed. Lives are changed. People come to Christ. And the pastor, the spiritual leader of the house, he is pleased. He is happy because he's following God. So the God-centered spiritual leader versus the self-leadership, one seeks to please God, one seeks to please self. One wants to honor God. The other wants to honor self and is greedy for money. It's a hireling. A hireling is a person that is paid to perform a job, to perform a service. The shepherd has the gift. Remember, we're talking about gifts. The shepherd will have the gift of shepherding. The shepherd will watch over the sheep. The shepherd will protect the sheep. So what does all of this have to do with envy, Stacy? Where are you going with all of this? Okay, let me tell you where I'm going with this. The worship leader that is not ordained by God to sing, but they can sing, they can get a crowd going. 9 times out of 10, that person is jealous of the worship leader that has been anointed by God. So where the anointed worship leader is able to worship God in spirit and in truth and just smile and just usher in the presence of the Lord, all of a sudden they start having spiritual warfare on high levels where they can't even pray. They it's hard for them to praise and worship because the entertainment spirit is trying to shut down the worship leader. And with the envy and the jealousy, all of the incantations, all of the curses, all of the negative things that happen in the church, these things try, it's the war that's going on. Comes from envy. All of this comes from jealousy. And yes, we're not talking about that in Joseph's story, but that's just an example that I wanted to share because envy and jealousy, they work together. And it's light versus darkness. We are in spiritual warfare every day. And every day, the gifts that God has placed inside of us, they are not going to leave. You either going to use them or they're going to lie dormant. But they're there. Now, if you choose to live a consecrated life and please God and serve God, you're going to be envied. People are going to envy you. People are going to be jealous of you. And it makes no sense. When we open up ourselves to the spirit of envy and jealousy, we are inviting the spirit of division and separation to come in. So let's go to jealousy for a moment and see how it operates and cooperates with envy, resentment, and anger. Remember, in the beginning of Joseph's story, his brothers, they hated him because he brought an evil report. They hated him even more because he shared the dreams. And then when he shared the second dream, letting them know that I'm going to be over you, like you're going to bow down to me, then they hated him even the more. Now, when we open up this series, and this is a recap moment, when we open up this series, I said that hatred turns into anger, turns into hatred, hatred turns into bitterness, bitterness turns into resentment, and resentment turns into rage. Now, at some point, Joseph's brothers became envious and they became jealous. And jealous is to have ill feelings towards others because of their success, their blessings, and God's favor upon their lives. And that's the example we just read in the Word of God in Genesis, the 37th chapter. And it's directly related to the example I used with the anointed worship leader and then with the entertaining spirit worship leader. Self-centered leadership versus God-centered leadership. So jealousy will cause division and separation in relationships. In relationships and partnerships and marriages in many, many areas, professional relationships, personal relationships. Joseph's brothers displayed all of these fruits of darkness towards him, and the strife and confusion and every evil work was present. So I want to read James, the 3rd chapter. In the 16th verse, it says, "For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." So what does strife mean? And what does strife have to do with envy and jealousy? And I'm going to break all of this down for you because in James, the 3rd chapter, in the 16th verse, it says, "For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." So I said, Holy Spirit, like, what are you saying to me? Because I have the analogy of the praise and worship and what goes on, the spiritual warfare there. But what does this have to do with the evil works? And then what does this have to do with the evil works with Joseph and his brothers?
So he was like, okay, let's just break down what strife is first, and then I'm going to show you. So strife is to have a bitter conflict towards someone or something because of the fruits of darkness mentioned that are envy, resentment, and jealousy. So strife, we have conflicts, struggles, fights, battles, disagreement of ideas, interests, and decisions. So Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they agree? Excuse me. Wherever we find envy and strife, we're going to find disagreement. We're going to find people that cannot walk together. Joseph and his brothers, they could not walk together because they were not in agreement. They were not going in the same direction. Joseph's brothers resented Joseph. They was envious of Joseph. They was jealous of Joseph. So here comes the strife. And after the strife, here comes the confusion. When two people are not in agreement, they cannot walk together. So going back to praise and worship, you got one that's walking with God, and then you have one that's not walking with God. Now, let me tell you something. Does it mean that the one that was operating in the flesh was not saved? No. That person can be saved, but still be carnal in their mind and carnal in their thinking. And it's a big difference. But that person could also be an imposter, may not be saved at all, and has been sent on an assignment by the devil to cause division and confusion, which the spirit of Jezebel often operates with the spirit of division. Gossip, slander, envy, jealousy. The spirit of Jezebel is very territorial and will come against anyone that's a threat. Now, the spirit of Jezebel can operate through a man or a woman, but whenever jealousy is around, you best believe the spirit of Jezebel isn't far away. And we're going to deal with that spirit as well in another teach. But today, I want to present a question with you. Are you walking with God today? Are you in agreement with God? Regardless of what is happening to you, regardless of what people are doing to you, and regardless of what your family is doing to you. Because remember, we're talking about the contact person for people in our families. And when I started this series, the topic was your family wants to see what will become of your dream. So how many people in your family have put their mouths on you? How many people in your family have been envious, jealous of you? How many people in your family hate you because of the dream, because of the gifts, the skills, the ability, the talents that God gave you? And not that you did anything to be braggadocious or to be prideful or to be humble, but you were simply being you. And you made up in your mind that you love God and you wanted to serve God with all of your heart. And in the process of doing that, you were hated. You were mistreated. You was resented. They resented you. They hated you. And then on top of that, you had to live with them every day. Joseph had to deal with this every day. And it got to the point where it escalated. Remember, I said anger, hatred, bitterness, resentment, and rage. Once that rage comes in, you totally out of pocket. You totally out of control. You don't care what you're going to do. You don't think about what you're going to do. The rage takes over. And after it's all done and said, you be like, what did I just do? Or what did I just say? You know, when you caught up in a moment and you just say anything that come out of your mouth and you end up cursing somebody out because you in a moment of rage. Well, in a moment of rage, Joseph's brothers threw him in the pit. So how can they walk with Joseph? How can they say that they loved him? How can they throw him in the pit like that and walk away? Well, when two people are not in agreement, they cannot walk together. They will disagree in love. They will disagree with peace, and they will disagree with the hatred and with the confusion. They won't want to be peacemakers. His brothers didn't want to make peace with him. Even after they conspired to throw him in the pit, Reuben knew that what they was doing was wrong, and Reuben had a plan to go back and save Joseph, but it was too late. They had sold him into slavery, so he couldn't rescue him. So even the brothers, and at that part of the story, the brothers was divided. So the separation was already working. One brother stood for righteousness. So what is confusion? Confuse is to mislead, is to jumble up, to mix up, is to bewilder someone, to be bewildered, to be bamboozled, to be discombobulated. So I want to go back to the pit for a moment, because remember, today's message is what have you learned from your pit experience? And so we're also learning what Joseph learned from his pit experience. So I have to go back to James 3 and verse 16 after I read Genesis, the 37th chapter again, and the 11th verse, because we're exposing the spirit of envy today. We're exposing the works of the enemy. So in verse 11, it says, "And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the same." So his father, Jacob was pondering, you know, all throughout the New Testament, when something happened with Joseph, his mother, Mary, she pondered. She did a lot of pondering. Well, that's what Jacob was doing. Jacob, he thought about it. What if what he's about to say is going to come true? Because Jacob knew that something was different about his son. So how many parents do we have on the line? How many parents do we have that are listening to this broadcast, and you see something special in your child? You see special gifts. You see special abilities. You see special talents. And it's our job to help our children, to develop our children, to cultivate the gift inside of them. And when we do this, we must be careful not to outshine one child over the other. We need to have balance with that, so that envy and jealousy does not have an open door. You see, Jacob knew that there was something special about his son Joseph. So after that last dream, he thought about it. The word says he observed the sand. So now Jacob may not have had complete understanding. You know, God do things in parts. Jacob had all of these sons, and they were good sons. God, the word doesn't say that, you know, they grieved Jacob, or they was troublemakers or troublesome to him. It doesn't mention any of that. But here we have Jacob that had all of these sons, but then he have Joseph in his old age, and he's doing something different with Joseph that he didn't do with the other boys, with his other sons. I know he was probably saying, what is it about Joseph? What is God? I know I had him in old age where I shouldn't have been able to produce, but he's here, and why, God? So now Joseph is displaying all of this behavior that he has been chosen by God. He has been set aside, called by God. And when he shares this dream, his father observed. So I believe at that point, whatever Jacob didn't understand, God was starting to put the pieces together, but he still didn't quite understand the full story. But he knew something was special because he observed the dream. He's like, okay, I'm going to pay attention. I'm going to watch and see what shall become of his dream. So the title of this series was, Your Family is Waiting to See What Shall Become of Your Dream. It's biblical. I'm not just making stuff up. I like to stay as connected to the word of God as I can with the messages that I bring. Your family is waiting to see what shall become of your dream. Your mother is waiting to see what shall become of your dream. Your father is waiting to see what shall become of your dream. Jacob said, not said, but Jacob observed these sayings. He knew it was something special about his son. He knew that his other sons was envious of the younger sons, but yet he didn't do anything to bring correction. Genesis, the 11th chapter, and his brethren envied him. Envy, envy, envy. So that brings us back to Galatians, the 5th chapter. I mean, James, the 3rd chapter, and the 16th verse that says, for where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. So once the brothers decided to allow their rage, see, remember, they were angry. We went from anger to hatred to resentment to bitterness to rage. Do you have a root of bitterness growing in your heart? Do you have a root of bitterness that is just dying to turn into rage so that you can go off on the person that you're envious and jealous of? You know, sometimes the root of bitterness is very subtle. It will sneak up on you, and before you know it, bam, it's right up in your face. We're talking about the spirit of envy, the spirit of anger, the spirit of bitterness, the spirit of resentment, and the spirit of rage. So, for where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. So the moment Joseph's brothers made a decision to conspire against Joseph, the evil work was in works. The evil work, where it started out, it was just a thought. Now they actually gave it arms and legs and feet so that it could walk, because now they made up in their mind, we're going to show Joseph what we think about him. We're going to confuse him because he shared this dream with us and he think he better than us and he think all of this stuff is going to go come to pass. Well, let's see how well Joseph is going to do when we throw him in this pit. Let's see what's going to become of Joseph. So in Galatians, the 5th chapter in the 19th verse, this is where the Holy Ghost took me to the works of the flesh, because I'm like, okay, we talking about evil works. And one of the questions that I have for you is with Genesis, the 37th chapter, what do you think some of the evil works were? Because we've been going over it. I've been recapping. I've been singing it. And I'm going to, you know, when we have Q&A session, we're going to have a chance to really elaborate on the evil works. But the Holy Spirit took me to Galatians, the 5th chapter, in the 19th verse, because this is a clear description from a biblical perspective in regards to the works of the flesh. And it says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, verse 20, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred. Uh-oh, there's that word, hatred. Variance, emulations, wrath, strife. Uh-oh, there we have that word, strife. And we are talking about the works of the flesh, and we're talking about evil works. And we have seditions and heresies. In verse 21, it says, envyings, murder, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So right here, I just want to highlight that these are the fruits of darkness. Satan loves to counterfeit everything that God does. God is love, Satan comes with hatred. God is love, Satan comes with the spirit of lust. Lust is the counterfeit of God's love, but the opposite of love is hate. Satan is full of hate. Satan put hate in Joseph's heart, Joseph's brother's heart. Satan put hatred, his Joseph brothers' hearts was filled with hatred. And the moment they embraced the hatred, that the works of the flesh began to develop. Now, what's the opposite of the fruit of darkness? The opposite of the fruit of darkness is the fruit of the Spirit. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is recorded in Galatians, the 5th chapter. I love Galatians. And in Galatians, when we learn about the fruit of the Spirit, the first fruit, if you think about a bookend, the first fruit is love. And the second fruit, I'm at the end, the last bookend is temperance. So we have love on the front, and we have temperance on the end, which is self-control. But I want to read the fruit of the Spirit for a moment just so we can see the difference. And the reason that I'm breaking this down, because we have to recognize the fruit. We need to learn to be fruit testers. God wants us to bear fruit, right? Juicy fruit that will help build up the kingdom of God. But when we are operating with the works of the flesh, when we display evil works, guess what? We are not building up the kingdom of God. Joseph's brothers was not building up the kingdom of God. They was not edifying their brother. They was tearing him down. They placed a hit on his life. They sold him into slavery. That's not love. That's hatred. That's a fruit of darkness. Are you operating in the fruit of darkness today, or are you walking in the fruit of the Spirit? Do you know that the trials and tribulations, the tests that Joseph went through, that God was developing character within him? Did you know that when God is building character within us through the trials and tribulations, through the hurt and pain, through being thrown in a pit, through being sold into slavery, through being falsely accused, through being thrown into jail, into prison, do you know that God is developing the fruit of the Spirit? Do you know that God is building character so that when he takes you out of the prison, you're going to go to the palace and you'll have enough integrity to maintain your position? Because now God can trust you, because with the long suffering, he taught you some things. You see, Joseph had to go through a process, and God had to strip Joseph of many things. So, does God need to strip off of you today? What does God need to strip off of Stacy today? None of us are exempt. Every day we have something that we should be working on. Every day we should have something that we're giving up and giving it to God. Every day we should be renouncing something, because every day we should be in fellowship with God. And every day God is going to shine his light on us, and he's going to shine his light in the area where he sees something that's not pleasing to him. And in response, our desire is to please God. So we go back to Psalms 51 and verse 10 that says, creating me a clean heart, O God, and renewing me a right spirit. Repentance, repentance, repentance. We should repent every day. And I'm going to tell you why. Sometimes things happen and we do get upset. We do get angry. We do get envious. We do get jealous sometimes. But the moment you realize what happens, you need to repent and give it to God, so that it doesn't turn into a root of bitterness, so that it doesn't turn into the works of the flesh, and so you don't operate in the fruit of darkness. Many believers in the body of Christ, they love God, but guess what? They serve in the devil. They operating with the fruit of darkness. Does it mean that they're not saved? No, that's not what it means. It means that they need deliverance. So it means that when we see our brothers and our sisters operating in falsehood and deception and lies and deceit, when we see the fruit of the Spirit, when we see the works of the flesh, listen, We shouldn't be so quick to put our mouths on them. We shouldn't be so quick to expose them. We shouldn't be so quick to condemn them to hell. Guess what? You started somewhere. You didn't have it all together. Somebody prayed for you. Somebody helped you. Why can't we help one another? Division, confusion, separation. The enemy is good with causing division. The enemy is good with causing division. What have you learned from Joseph's pit experience? What are you learning from your own pit experience? What fruit of the spirit is God highlighting to you right now? What fruit of darkness is God highlighting to you right now? Because guess what? In Galatians 5:19, that list that I just read, if you find yourself in anything in Galatians 5:19 to 21, let me give you the biblical prescription. Because you know all I got is word for you. The biblical prescription is found in 2 Chronicles 7:14 that says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. And it's just that simple. Repentance is not about, oh, I'm not going to do this anymore. No, your mindset has to change. Your mindset has to change. You have to be fully persuaded in your mind. And let me tell you something. There are besetting sins. A besetting sin is a stronghold working with the besetting sin. I'm going to go to addictions for a moment and bookmark Galatians 5 in 22, because I still need to read the fruit of the spirit. But we have to understand that the enemy is on assignment to destroy the body of Christ. The body of Christ is under attack. We are in a state of emergency. Our warfare is not against each other. We are to edify and build each other up. But when we don't understand, because my people perish for lack of knowledge, guess what? We destroy each other. We tear each other down. We speak bitter words. We devise wicked devices. We conspire. It's time to stop all of that. It's my people, which are called by my name. Now, going back to the besetting sin, a besetting sin is hard to break. It becomes an addiction. So when you display addictive behavior and you try and stop, but you can't, you pray about it, but you can't, and you cry and you cry and you cry, and I mean, you really feel bad in your spirit every time you do it. It could be sex, it could be drugs, it could be alcohol, it could be lying to your wife, it could be lying to your husband. I don't care what it is. Some people want to tell the truth, but you know what? They're bound by a lying spirit. And until they get delivered from it, they're going to tell lies. But we're talking about a besetting sin. So a besetting sin, your will has been so reduced, like your will is so weak. And a weak, W-E-E-K, without prayer, a weak, W-E-E-K, without reading the word and being in fellowship with God, will make you W-E-A-K, weak. And the enemy will come in and he will pounce on you. And he see your weakness and he see your struggle. And so he says, okay, we're going to send in another evil word. And we're going to throw some adultery in there on top of how they already feeling with this addiction. And we're really going to get them bound. And they're going to get so entangled in this web of sin that they're not going to be able to get free. And they're going to cry, 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 but they're really not going to change, because we're going to bind their mind and tie up their mind and have them so confused. I hope you're getting the visual of what I'm saying. The devil is a liar, and I hate the devil, and I'm going to expose him, because he's going to let God's people free. And we have to know about the power and the authority that God has given to us. So going back to our brothers and sisters in Christ that are struggling with an addiction, that are struggling and displaying behavior that is not true to their nature, we do not put our mouths on them. And that is a process. It is growing into spiritual maturity. It is learning how to follow God-centered leadership, which means we've made a choice. We're going to follow God no matter what happens, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like. I'm going to follow God. But self-centered leadership says, I'm going to follow my feelings, my emotions. I'm going to listen to the lies of the devil that is telling me to gossip about this person, to slander this person, and to condemn that person, and to make them feel ostracized, criticized, and rejected, and abandoned, and they'll no longer want to come to church anymore. They'll no longer want to be serving God. The devil is a liar. This message is saving somebody today. This message is opening up blinded eyes today. The devil is a liar, and he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And all of this because God showed me the spirit of envy. So let's go back to Galatians, the fifth chapter, and we're going to close. I'm going to come to an end in a moment. Galatians 5:22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, if you compare verse 22 and 23 against the works of the flesh that are recorded in verses 20 and 21, it's a big difference. So who's your God? If you serve him more, fruit in verses 20 and 21, guess what? You serving Satan. You displaying behavior that's not true to your nature. You really belong to God, but you serving Satan. And we need to get understanding there, because a lot of times we put our mouths on people and we talk about things that we don't understand. Oh, they going to go to hell. Don't worry about who's going to go to hell. You make sure you work out your own salvation with fear and trembling and mind your business. If you can't pray for nobody, then shut your mouth, because the very things that are coming out your mouth, you're speaking curses. And then when you speak negative stuff about yourself, you speak in self-induced curses. If a person is already going through something and you see it, be the bigger person. Be led by the fruit of the Spirit. Extend some love and help the person to get the help that they need by being loving and kind to them and not being rough and condescending and looking down on them. Joseph had every opportunity when he was in the palace and his brothers came. His father sent his brothers to Egypt so that they can purchase food. Joseph had every opportunity to condemn them, to lock them up. But you know what? Excuse me. Thank you, Holy Spirit. He had every opportunity to operate in the fruit of the darkness by displaying hatred. But because Joseph hid God's word in his heart, Joseph made up in his mind he's not going to sin against God. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say he didn't feel a certain way because of what his brothers did to him. Envy, jealousy, strife, and confusion mixed with evil works placed Joseph in the dark place. But hallelujah, God brought Joseph out of the darkness into his marvelous light. So I asked the question earlier, what are the evil works that we see in Joseph's story? And we will pick up with that next week because it is 1 o'clock. And I thank you so much for joining me. This is Stacey Lunsford, and you're listening to The Heartbeat of God. This is a service that is provided by Arise and Shine for Jesus Ministry. And our foundational scripture is found in Isaiah, the 60th chapter. Arise, shine, for thy light has come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. And it is our reasonable service at the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network to shine our light for Jesus. We pray that something said today in today's message has been a blessing to you. We are going to open up the lines at this time for comments, for sharing, and prayer requests. Thank you for joining me today.
Do we have any comments today? Any prayer requests?
Hello?
Yes.
Yes, Stacy, you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. It's very low, but I hear you.
Oh, okay. Well, as always, pray for us truck drivers out here.
Okay.
As always, as always, your word is on point. I'm hoping that everybody gets and feels what you're saying just like I do.
Amen. Well, praise God. Praise God. We are going to, for those of you that are dialing in for the first time or listening via the internet, we pray for truck drivers on a regular basis, but we set aside Wednesdays when we do the noonday prayer. We pray for our children all over the world, and we pray for truck drivers. And because this is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, we pray for the victims of domestic violence, those that are being abused, mistreated, overlooked, and used. So please join us as we pray and lift up truck drivers. If you have a truck driver, if you have a family member or a friend that is a truck driver and you would like us to pray for them on a regular basis, please feel free to inbox me on Facebook. And you can also email me at eloquentlyspeaking@gmail.com. We believe that God is doing a great work in the lives of truck drivers all over this world, and they risk their lives every day on a daily basis. And so our prayers help keep them safe on the highways and the byways and bring them home safe. So every time I pray, I like to incorporate, and if you are listening and you would have a question or a comment or a prayer request, I'm going to open up the lines and you'll feel free to share your concerns or your requests. But I like to pray for the truck drivers based on what we also shared in the message. And for those of you that are tuning in, the message was, what have you learned from your PIT experience? So we're going to open up with prayer, and Walter asked for prayer for truck drivers. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless your holy name. We magnify you and we glorify you. We exalt you and we extol you, O God. Father, we thank you for Walter. Him up today, and we use him as the point of contact for all truck drivers. Father, we lift up the Camachos, we lift up Reggie, we lift up Jamie, and we lift up the list of truck drivers who I don't know, we don't know their names, God, but you know who they are. And we thank you for those truck drivers that are dealing with mental and emotional anguish and stress. Father, we thank you for those that are dealing with torment because of bitterness, resentment, and unforgiveness. Father, we thank you for those that are reaching out for help, but they don't quite know how to give it all to you. So as we stand in the gap for truck drivers today, God, we lift them up to you, and we thank you, Father. We thank you for ministering to them. We thank you for supplying every need. We thank you for all of those areas where they have been hurt, where they have been wounded, where they have been rejected, where they have been mistreated like Joseph. Father, we thank you for the truck drivers that are dealing with envy and stress, resentment and bitterness and hatred. We thank you for truck drivers where other truck drivers are jealous of them and so much nonsense is taking place. Father, we lift up truck drivers to you today. We thank you for the blood of your son, Jesus Christ, and we cover every truck
right now with the blood of your son, Jesus Christ. And we thank you. We thank you and we praise you that there will be no accidents, Father. We thank you for your divine protection. We decree Psalm 91 over truck drivers today. We thank you, Father, for healing their minds. And we thank you, Father, for healing their emotions. We thank you for letting them think right and accurately about you. We thank you for letting them think right and accurately about themselves. We thank you for all of the many, many issues, all of the many problems, all of the many worries, all of the many stresses, all of the things that they're thinking about, God, while they're out there on the highway, and things that can distract them. So, Father, we bind the spirit of distraction right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And Father, we loose a spirit, a single mind, a mind that will be stayed on you. And we ask that you take complete control because, God, I bind every mind-binding spirit, every mind-altering spirit. And I thank you right now for loosing the mind of Christ. And I thank you for letting this mind be in your truck drivers that are in Christ Jesus. I thank you, God, that as they keep their mind stayed on you, that you will keep them in perfect peace. Now, God, I bind the spirit of confusion, and I loose the spirit of peace upon your truck drivers today, and I speak peace into every situation. Father, whatever they are going through, I thank you that you have the answer in your word, and I thank you that you are going to reveal yourself to them. I thank you, Father God, that when they get to the truck stop today, that the truck stop chapel will be open and they will be able to go in and get prayer. They will be able to hear the gospel. They will get encouraged, oh God, and they will learn how to trust you on a higher level. So we thank you today, God. We thank you for the truck drivers that are like Joseph, Father, that have been thrown in the pit. We thank you for the truck drivers, Father, that have been sold into slavery. We thank you for the truck drivers, oh God, that have been falsely accused. And we thank you for every seducing spirit, spirit of enticement, spirit of allurement. Father God, you know we've been talking about the fruit of darkness, and we've been talking about the fruit of the spirit. And I thank you right now, God, that there are some spirits of harlotry, there are some spirits of perversion that are hiding and waiting for these men and women to come to these truck stops and to these different cities and states, God, and they want to seduce them. They want to, Father, have their way with them. But I bind the spirit of harlotry, and I cancel every assignment against their life. In the name of Jesus. Father, you said if I ask anything in your name, that you would do it. That's what you said in John 14:14. So I thank you that right now, every work of the every fruit of darkness, every evil work that was assigned against the truck driver today to cause him to commit adultery, cancel by the blood and fire of God. Every man, every woman that's been caught up with these prostitution rings at the truck stop, cancel in the name of Jesus. I shut it down, God. I break out their warehouses in the name of Jesus. I cancel every assignment, every tracking spirit, every monitoring spirit. Lose their phone numbers. Lose their email addresses. I destroy your databases by the blood and fire of God. Father, we cry out to you for truck drivers today. We thank you for every truck driver that has an unmet need. And whatever that unmet need is, God, it is not going to be met by sex today. It is not going to be met by the spirit of enticement. I rebuke the spirit of Athaliah, God. And I'm not saying her name right, but God, I thank you. The spirit of Delilah, I cancel every assignment in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for the truck drivers that are freshly divorced, that are lonely, that don't understand the emptiness, the brokenness, the depression. Father, fill their hearts today. Touch them in a special way. Move by your spirit. Comfort them like only you can. We cry out for truck drivers, God. So many assignments of the enemy. So many people, Father. And it's not people, but it's persons with our bodies designed to frustrate and to hinder your truck drivers. Father, I thank you for all of the truck drivers that know you, that love you, that are serving you, that are praying, that are in fellowship with you, that are walking with you, that are in agreement with you. God, I thank you, and I pray a hedge of protection over them and around them, God. I place them in your fire, God. I thank you that no weapons formed against them shall prosper. And I thank you right now, God, for moving by your spirit. I thank you for fighting every battle. I thank you for destroying, Father God, the works of the enemy. I thank you that you are Jehovah Gabor. And I thank you for showing your truck drivers today that you are the God of battles. I thank you for contending with every person that is contending with your truck drivers. I thank you for fighting their battles, oh God. I thank you for destroying the arrow, destroying the bow, God, destroying the shield, and destroying the battle. In the name of Jesus, as we praise you, oh God, for truck drivers all over the world, God, I break the spirit of depression. I break the spirit of heaviness in the name of Jesus. And it's not by might nor by power, but it is by your spirit, oh God. I decree your word. The spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the suffering and afflicted, and that includes truck drivers, oh God. And I thank you that you sent me to comfort the brokenhearted, to announce liberty to the captive, and to open the eyes of the blind. And you sent me to tell those that mourn that the time of your favor has come, God, and the day of your wrath to their enemies, and to all who mourn in Israel. You will give beauty for ashes and joy instead of mourning and praise instead of heaviness. And that's the scripture that I wanted right there, and praise instead of heaviness. So as I break the spirit of heaviness, I loose the spirit of praise. I loose the garment of praise, and I praise you through this prayer, oh God. I praise you, oh God, for truck drivers. I praise you that the spirit of heaviness is breaking up. It's busting up, oh God, for you are breaking up the hollow ground. I break the spirit of depression. I break the spirit of oppression. I bind the spirit of discouragement and despair, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And I cover their minds with the blood of your son, Jesus Christ. God, I loose your word. Your word has been loosed. And so your angels must go forth to hearken to your word, God. I thank you that you are watching over your word. And I thank you that you're going to do what you said you're going to do, God. So I thank you that because Walter prayed for truck drivers, hallelujah, that truck drivers are being set free today, God. Truck drivers that were depressed. My God, they've been set free. And I thank you that it is for freedom that we have been set free. And standing firm on your word, they will not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So I bind the spirit of bondage. I bind and I rebuke the spirit of entrapment. I bind and I rebuke the spirit of allurement in the name of Jesus. And I thank you right now, God, for strengthening their discernment. I thank you that your truck drivers all over this world are experiencing a spiritual awakening. And I thank you that you are delivering them today from all kinds of hurt, all kinds of pain, all kinds of mistreatment and abuse. Father, this is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and we thank you for the truck drivers that have been abused by their wives. And we thank you for the truck drivers that have been abused by their husbands and abusing each other, God, emotionally and mentally and physically and sexually and any way they have been molested, God. And even the men that were
abused at a young age, God, and the men that were rejected when they was in their mother's womb, Father, I'm asking you to go deep today. I'm asking you to go beneath the surface, God, because sometimes we stay at the top level and we don't go underneath the surface, God. We just go by what we see on the top level. But God, I'm asking you to go underneath the surface in the name of Jesus. And I cry out to you, God, and I thank you for going to the point, oh God, where the rejection entered in, where the abandonment, God, whatever it was, whatever it is, Father, we pull it out at the root. And we thank you for the gift of healing and the working of miracles. Thank you for healing the minds of your truck drivers today. Thank you for delivering them. Thank you for setting them free. And Father, we pray for our children all over the world. We pray for our children that are in or coming out of abusive relationships. We thank you for teenage pregnancy. We thank you for teenage abuse. We thank you that domestic violence in teenage relationships is on the rise. We thank you that domestic violence is a learned behavior that can be unlearned. Father, I'm asking you to raise up an army that will do your will, that will pray for the children, that will stay on the wall. We cover the children all over this world with the blood of your son, Jesus Christ, from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. Father, we thank you for showing them that they have what it takes. We thank you, God, that they will not sell themselves short. We thank you, God, that you are going to reveal yourself to them on a bigger level, and you're going to show them, like Jacqueline Carr sings, you are a big God. You're bigger than everything that they are going through. We thank you for children that have decisions to make. We thank you for children that are being bullied. We thank you for children that have initiations to go through because they're trying to be a part of cliques and trying to be a part of gangs, and they're looking for love in all the wrong places, looking for love in too many faces. And God, we stand in the gap this afternoon, and we lift up these children to you. We lift up these young adults to you, oh God, and we cry out to you, and we thank you right now, God, for moving by your spirit. We thank you for sending divine assaults against the enemy. We thank you, oh God, as we call on Michael, Father, we ask that you would send Michael, God, because there are powers and principalities that are trying to stop your prayers from coming through in the lives of these young people, God. And I send divine assaults into the enemy's camp right now in the name of Jesus. And I bind the spirit of divination. I command you to break by the burning fire of God. I bind the spirit of witchcraft. Every witch and warlock has been set on assignment against your children, oh God. I cancel the assignment of the enemy. And I thank you, Father, for exposing the enemy. Now, God, I'm going to be real strategic with this prayer, and I'm going to ask in the name of Jesus that you would allow everybody in their sphere of influence, whether it's a peer, whether it's a mother, a father, a family member, a friend, a church member, somebody out in the community, Father, let them make a serious mistake today. And that mistake that they make, use it for your glory to remove the scales from their eyes and allow them to see the truth. And if it's a snake, let them see the snake. If it's a spider, let them see the spider, God. I don't care how you do it. I'm just asking you to expose the works of the enemy. Let somebody that they've been trusting that's on assignment from the enemy to steal their soul and snatch them away from you through drugs, through alcohol, through sex, through cigarettes, through resentment, through bitterness, through envy and jealousy, through the works of the spirit
the works of the flesh, the fruit of darkness. Father, expose, expose, expose. Remove scales from blinded eyes, God. I thank you. I feel something shifting in the atmosphere. God, you are the God of breakthroughs, and I thank you for breaking through, God. I thank you for breakthroughs. I thank you, God, that you are covering our children in school, and the spirit of divination that's operating in the schools must leave now in the name of Jesus. Father, you said we have not because we ask not. And I'm asking you right now, God, to raise up the intercessors. Oh, God, touch the hearts of the intercessors. Bring us on one accord, oh, God, as we touch and agree, as we pray the things that are on your heart, as we pray the things that are on your mind. The young people need us, oh, God. There are young people that are suicidal. There are young people that have suicidal thoughts. There are young people that do not desire to kill themselves, but because the heat has been turned up, because they've been disappointed so many times, and because the enemy is working overtime with discouraging them. No. God, I bind the spirit of heaviness in the name of Jesus, and I thank you for breaking in pieces the oppressor. Break in pieces the oppressor, God. Break in pieces the oppressor. Everybody that's oppressing your children, everyone that has caused your little ones to be offended, you said it was better that a millstone was hung around their necks. God, I call forth a spirit of repentance. Every pedophile, in the name of Jesus, God, snatch away the desire for him to have a little boy, a little girl. God, I thank you that his penis will not be able to operate, God. In the name of Jesus, I bind the spirit of child molestation and rape in the name of Jesus. Sexual immorality, homosexuality, God, in the name of Jesus. And I lose the spirit of holiness. I lose the spirit of righteousness. I bind that unpure spirit, and I lose the pure spirit, oh God. We bind the spirit of error, and we lose the spirit of truth. And again, God, I have to ask you to go underneath the surface. And to see the root issues. And I thank you for the generational curses, the bloodline curses that need to be broken. And I thank you for every evil altar, every demonic altar, every satanic altar that has been erected against your children, God. And I'm saying your children because, God, you have your children and the devil has his children. But I'm talking about your children, oh, God. And every evil altar, every demonic altar, every satanic altar that has been erected against them on their mother's side, on their father's side, break by the blood and fire of God. Dismantle every altar. Crush. Break it into pieces, God. No longer will they be bound by the lies and the works of the enemy. Thank you for the generational blessings. I pray for the mothers and the fathers. I thank you for their salvation, their healing, their deliverance. Father, I thank you for those areas where they've been struggling with addictions and struggling with besetting sins and strongholds and mindsets that need to change. Father, we're asking that you turn the hearts of the father to the children. Turn the hearts of the father to the children. And prepare the children's heart to receive their fathers. Father, every negative word that has been spoken against children about their fathers, God, I bring it under the blood of Jesus, divine reversal. I thank you, Father God. They won't even remember it. And I lose the truth, and I lose your love. And God, anything that's been going on with mom and dad that it has affected the children, it's been an open door for the enemy to come in and just wreak havoc. So, Father, we're not just praying to be praying. We're praying to be strategic because it's time for change. It's time for restoration. It's time for forgiveness. It's time for the healing waters to flow. And it begins with the mom and dad, whether they are together or not. So we thank you for a spirit of cooperation. We thank you for a spirit of forgiveness, oh God. We thank you for building harmonious relationships. And we thank you, Father, for giving us the power to dismantle the spirit of haughtiness and the spirit of pride, because pride will keep mom and dad apart. Pride will prevent them from saying I'm sorry and receiving forgiveness, God. The healing process begins with the forgiveness process. So, God, I call forth a spirit of forgiveness. And so we just thank you and we praise you, and we thank you for this message today. We thank you for what was learned about Joseph's life and the spirit of envy and strife and division and separation. And, Father, we just ask that you be glorified and that you be with us the rest of this week. Father, I lift up spiritual leaders to you, and I thank you for those spiritual leaders that are being abused, those spiritual leaders that are suicidal, those spiritual leaders that feel alone, even though they go to church and they preach and they worship and they pray for people, but they go home and they struggle with their own issues, God. And sometimes they overlooked, and sometimes they not even prayed for, God. And we lift them up to you right now in the name of Jesus. Every battle, every burden that they're carrying, God, may they release it to you so that they can be more effective for you, God. Help them, meet them where they are. Be everything that they need you to be. And we thank you, God, for delivering them and setting them free in every area where they have been wounded, where they have been disrespected, where they have been neglected, where they have been betrayed, where they have been ostracized and criticized, especially spiritual leaders that have fallen short of your glory and they made some serious mistakes. And it did wound the people in their families, God. And it wounded the people in the church, God. But Father, as I close, I pray that you would release mercy, new mercies, God, because you are such a merciful Father. You forgive us for everything, every sin we ever committed against you. But when our brothers and sisters fall short of the glory of God, and when a spiritual leader falls short, God, we don't extend that same mercy. And because of that, many pastors, many spiritual leaders have committed suicide. But we bind that spirit of suicide. We bind the spirit of premature death. We bind, Father God, the spirit of murder. And we loose resurrection life and resurrection power. And we decree that your spiritual leaders shall rise. Father God, they shall rise, not by might nor by power, but by your spirit. So we thank you today, and we give you the honor for restoration in Jesus' name. Amen. Do we have any other comments or any other prayer requests at this time?
Hi, Stacy.
Hi.
This is Joy. This is my first time joining in, and it was so powerful. I asked for prayer, but you've already prayed some of what I was going to ask for, so thank you so much. And I will be tuning in again. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome. I was listening on the internet, but then I switched over to the phone line so I could give my comment. So thank you.
Okay. Well, any comments about the message? Anything stood out to you?
Just about the envy, you know, being envious and jealous of people. We don't have no reason to do that. God has given us gifts. We should stir up our own gifts and not, you know, I don't need to be like somebody else in order for me to serve God and do what I'm called to do, because he's designed me uniquely with the gifts that I have to be able to serve the purpose that he intended for me.
And that is powerful. And that's what every believer should know.
If we had
proper understanding of the spiritual gifts in the lane that we supposed to be in, we won't worry about what's, if we in the right lane, we ain't gonna worry about the left lane.
True. And your message today, I needed to hear that because oftentimes, I don't know about anybody else, but I can admit to the fact that sometimes, not now, but you know, before, I would look at what people were doing and I would compare myself to them. And I finally had to get it in my spirit. And your Bible study confirmation for me today, for me to know that, you know, I have my own unique gifts. I have gifts that God has given me for his intended purpose, not for the purpose of people and for their opinions and their comments and their, you know, and for them to tell me what I'm doing right and what I'm not doing right, or just for them. But this is for God. This is all for his glory. So I thank you so much for your, I'm so grateful to God that I joined in for the Bible study today because it served as confirmation and affirmation for me. So thank you.
Amen. You're welcome. God bless you. And Walter, do you have anything to add on? And he might be on mute.
Okay, so we will be meeting again on next Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And for those of you that are listening via the internet, God bless you. I love you. Thank you so much for tuning in. I will be putting a couple of recaps on the page, Eloquently Speaking Radio Network, so that just for food for thought, and I will place the scriptures that was provided today, and we will go in a little deeper with the works of the flesh, because everything that happened to Joseph from the times that his brothers, all it was a thought. It was a thought that they had, and then they actually started planning it. So we need to be careful about our thoughts, because if we think about something too long, whether it's good or bad, it's going to come to pass, because the moment we speak it out of our mouth, it's going to take formation. So the moment they conspired against Joseph, now for those of you that know there's a conspiracy against you, I want you to read Psalm 64, for the next 7 days. Read Psalm 64. Read it out loud at night before you go to bed. Read it out loud throughout the day as you are led. But read Psalm 64, and God is going to release revelation knowledge to you. But as you are making your prophetic declaration, speaking it out loud, ownership of that psalm, pray it out, prophetically pray it out. Give God back his word, and he will highlight different parts of Psalm 64 where he wants you to go in a little further with the prayer. But I'm telling you that as you say this prayer, God is going to expose every conspiracy against your life, and it is going to be dismantled in Jesus' name. So when Joseph's brothers conspired against him and they threw him in the pit, that was the first work of the flesh. And everything that happened to Joseph after that, and that's where we're going to pick up with the fruit of darkness and the fruit of the spirit. So continue to read Genesis, the 37th chapter, and feel free to share your comments and submit your prayer requests. This is Stacy Lunsford, and you're listening to the Heartbeat of God on the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network. God bless you, and have a wonderful day.